This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. Sometimes when a person is offered a refreshment, they'll respond by saying, "No thanks, I'm good." Well, on this second Sunday in Advent, we will learn how a message from John the Baptist takes issue with this response. Please stay with us.
Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we thank you for this Christmas tide, that time when our thoughts are turned to you, Lord, to realize what love you have for us and how much we need a Savior. So then may we hear the message of John the Baptist, who tells us very lovingly but very clearly, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So grant, O Lord, as we spend our time on that particular text and theme, pour into our heart that Advent message, that we may rejoice in the Christmas message. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends in Christ, in this second Sunday of Advent, we meet John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus Christ, who was beheaded by the cruel ruler Herod. John the Baptist's mother was Elizabeth, and Elizabeth was a cousin of Jesus' mother in the flesh by the name of Mary. So there was an interrelationship there in one way and in another. He was a forerunner of Christ. He also had some blood running through his system that made them cousins in some sense of the word. It was in that day that God sent John the Baptist out into the wilderness by the Jordan River, telling the people to repent and be baptized in that Jordan River. So this is where we find ourselves. This is a setting, and I'd like to read you the text that I'm preaching on this day. Here it is. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod, tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea, and Trachonitis and Licinius, tetrarchs of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the desert. He went into the countryside around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As is written in the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked roads shall become straight, the rough roads smooth, and all mankind will see God's salvation. John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruits in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourself, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the foot of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. What should we do then? The crowd asked. John answered, the man with two tunics should share with him who has none, and the one who has food should do the same. Tax collectors came to be baptized. Teacher, they said, what shall we do? Don't collect any more than you are required to, he told them. Then some soldiers asked him, and what should we do? He replied, don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay. This ends the reading of that part of the text. It is easy to see that John the Baptist was sent to tell that simple story that you are in need of repentance. And that is one of the themes of the Advent season. For if we are going to really appreciate the coming of the Christ child and the forgiveness of our sins, which is alone in him, it is necessary that we have an understanding of the sinfulness that is within our own being and within our world. John the Baptist did not use very good language, I don't think, and yet I hope that he said it in a kind, pleading way. You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not comfort yourselves by saying, well, we have Abraham as our father. The time has come, and now is, that it is necessary to produce good fruit, for the bad fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. Now this is a new message. It is like in our day an evangelist coming to town. I like to think of the great evangelist, Billy Graham, coming in and telling a group of people who have probably heard the law and the gospel for a long, long time, the same message that Mr. Graham would preach. But he taught it in such a way, and he was a great evangelist. People would sit up and listen. This is what was happening as far as John the Baptist was concerned. John the Baptist was telling them that it is necessary for you to get right with God and to be in a personal relationship with Him and to not think that just being Jewish people, adhering to the laws of the Jewish religion and going to the synagogue on its regular day would save them. Isn't that a message for us? Isn't it true that we need to hear today that we need to be right with God? Many of you are. Some of you probably are not. As a result of this, the message of repentance is truly right for this day as we prepare or are having our hearts prepared to meet the Christ in the manger. One thing that we do not have right today in many cases is what is the true nature of a human being? We like to say, well, basically, when we compare ourselves to the world of which we are a part, we are good people. We do things that we think are right and keep from doing things that are wrong. We go to church. We give to the poor. We do this and we do that. And I'm sure that our Lord Jesus Christ would say, well done. But that will never, never save you. But what are you going to do about your sin? Well, we're really not bad sinners, many people will say. I've gotten into that discussion quite a bit lately. When I ask somebody if they would like to have something to eat at our home, quite often they'll say, no, thank you, I'm good. And it's a great time to take off and say, part of your response is right, but another part is terribly wrong. You can say, no, thank you, that's kind, it's polite, it's the proper way to answer if you do not wish to have any food. But when you turn around and say, you're good, I know what you mean. But it's just a good way to bounce in to a discussion on original sin. You're not good, nor am I good. We must get that straight. Quite often, I will get an argument. I am good. I do a lot of good things. Oh, that might be. But basically, the Bible says that when sin came into the world, it passed for judge every person, and so we are all sinners in need of God's grace. Let me read you from Romans, the 5th chapter, verse 12. Just as sin entered through the one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men, because all sinned. This is much like you read in the Psalm 51, verse 5. Behold, I was born in sin. Just think of it, born in sin. And in iniquity did my mother conceive me. The psalmist way back, many hundreds of years before Christ, was teaching that the human being is by nature sinful and unclean. And that is passed on through to the New Testament. And this is what is necessary for us to have clear today, friends. Because of that sinful nature that we have, our ability to right things that are wrong cannot happen. But how easy it is for us to try to lift ourselves up by our own bootstraps. I apply this to the lives of people, and I apply it to the lives of groups of people who are gathered together. The message of repentance must be proclaimed because for our sins that Christ child had to be born there in a manger. Let's take a look at who we really are. Isn't it quite easy to see when the lights are out at night and we take a look at our lives that there are things that are there? Hate. Not caring for other people as God has told us to do. All of these little things, worry can even be a sin. This is who we are. And yet we try to take our own lives and keep them in pretty good shape. We think we're good people, and as far as the world is concerned, we are. We probably have done some nice things. We have fed the hungry. We have helped clothe the poor. We have tried to find housing for some who are without a roof over their head. All of these things are pleasing to God. But then there are these other things. These things where I have hate, envy, strife, anything that can come out of my own being. Here it is that John the Baptist is preaching to you and to me. We say, well, we go to church. We are a part of the Christian faith. So be it. We can go to church, but what we need is Christ. It is important to go to church. Don't let me give you the wrong impression. If you have Christ, you will be in church if it's physically possible for you to be there. But we try to lift up ourselves by our own bootstraps, and it isn't very well done. But when we can rely on the grace of God that comes in Jesus Christ our Lord, then we know that we have met him. And then we know that we are in that right relationship. I can't say it enough, friend. I see, for example, some of the momentous problems that are facing our land today, our Congress and the White House and whatever else it may be. And we will continue that way, I pray. We're going to try to do the best we can, but it will never be perfect. We're going to have the Congress and the White House, the executive branch of the government, try to work together. Give a little bit here, give a little bit there, and maybe some things will come to shape that will at least keep us able to exist. But if we are to have real healing, this means that we have got to turn it over to the Lord Jesus Christ and let him do the lifting up. And so there is for us today that same message of repentance that John the Baptist brought to the people of his day and continues to bring to us today. For example, as we look further into this text that I have read for you, they came to him, and they asked him, well, what do you want me to do? See, now he goes from general things to just common, ordinary things. Repent. You tax collectors, repent. You know what you did. You were told to bring so much money to the Roman Empire because of this community. You went out and you overcharged that community. And you sent them what the Roman Empire wanted, you could keep the rest. Stop doing that, he says. Don't collect any more than you are required to. Look at when he gets down to the specifics again. The man who has two tunics should share with him who has none. We who have so much, and so many people hurting, there is a place where we need to repent. Take the church, for example. Oh, yes, we want to have all the nice things. We spend millions of dollars on buildings. And I don't say that that's wrong. Some of those buildings were needed. And some of them should be beautified, for this is a house of the Lord. But then we have nothing really to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world of which we are a part. A congregation that has 500-600 people in it can only come to the World Missions with $10,000. Is that the way God wants it to be? I don't think so. A group of people who know the gospel well, but yet don't share it, go through a lifetime and don't share it. Here it is time for repentance. And so that cry comes out to us today. Our Lord Jesus Christ loves us, and it is with a loving, kind note, I think you can hear him say, just repent. Repentance has two parts to it, a sorrow for our sins and a turning to righteousness. Isn't that something that's necessary to look at as we find ourselves in this Christmas season? Isn't it what we cry out for, that the Lord Jesus, who lives there in Bethlehem's manger for these few days, will invade our hearts so that we may become new people, have a new spirit, have a whole new understanding of what the church is and what our lives are as Christians, what it means to us as parents to repent for some of the things that we're doing as far as the raising of our children, giving them whatever they want, whenever they want it, and then letting others go who have real needs. Is this the way that we want to see it? Do we want to see the children being able to use their time as they please, or as a part of this time to be spent in the work of the kingdom of God? You see, friends, we then, who are leaders in the church, must take a real look at this too. What a need for repentance there is, that I may know better the gospel, that I may experience better the grace that has come to me, that God has placed in my soul, and that I should bring out to you. And that is the purpose of our Second Sunday in Advent sermon today. We need in this Christmas season to really ask ourselves, where do I need to repent? Get rid of these funny ideas that we do not need any repentance, that we are basically very good people, always have been and always will be. No, we know that God has done some great things in our lives, and he will continue to do it. But in spite of all of this, that resistance that is found within us needs to be crushed as we listen carefully to that great man of God so many years ago. The man who gave his life for the cause of Christ, John the Baptist, when he says, repent ye, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Amen. Oh. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we pray that it may be a blessed Christmas. Blessed in the sense that we can enjoy one another, but blessed in the sense that we can have a renewed relationship with you. That we may look into that manger of Bethlehem and then view it 33 years later at a cross of Calvary and say, it was for me. The Lord is coming. And as we sing in that great hymn, praise God, he's coming for us. Lord, we pray that this Christmas may help us to be better prepared, for we have had a new experience with you as we have seen your love for us. And those who yet live in darkness, who think that Christmas is only around things and gifts and visits, may have a deeper understanding in knowing that it is when the Savior has an opportunity to take up residence in us that we know the meaning of his incarnation. Thank you, Lord, for coming, and thank you for coming for us. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray today's message has helped you better appreciate the coming of the Christ child and the forgiveness of your sins as you turn to your Savior in prayer and repentance. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry supported by the financial gifts of those who have been helped by the ministry and those who want to join us in reaching others with the good news of Jesus Christ. We are especially grateful for our gift every month, Gem Club members. These regular gifts sustain our ministry during quiet giving times. For your convenience, we're able to take credit card donations by phone or mail. Your support allows us to deliver biblical truths to those who cannot attend church. CDs and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of any amount to help defray production and mailing costs is always appreciated. Please address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, call 277-0924. Today's service is also available to be heard or read anytime on the internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. We're happy you chose to worship with us today and pray that you'll join us again next Sunday on this station. Conducting our service was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, radio speaker on Christian Crusaders since 1962. Christian Crusaders is now in its 76th year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.